cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man.
I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we are back with another episode of The Snake Pit. And of course, we couldn't do it without the man himself, Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, you look busy over there. What's going on?
Oh, I'm trying to get my dumbass situated.
So you guys know, Jake is on the road. He is very, very busy. He's actually out in Wyoming right now. We're recording this one ahead of StarCast, and what will be an incredible experience, I'm sure, is Jake and I do a live show out there, which will be available on pay-per-view. He's doing it from his phone today, but, hey man, we're committed to bringing you guys fresh content, right, Jake?
Got to, bro. Starts to smell after a while.
Yes, sir. And I'll tell you what, though, something that's always going to stay fresh is Ask Jake Anything, which is what we're doing today. It'll be our 11th edition. However, before we get into all these fan questions, and we got a ton of them, we do have to talk about what's been going on a little bit. We suffered a couple tough losses this past week, and I'd like to talk about them both here at the top of the show. Jake first, Terry Funk, I mean, just a one-of-a-kind performer, a legend. What can you talk to us about when it comes to Terry?
Probably one of the greatest performers ever. Terry was just one-of-a-kind, man. One of a kind, and he always gave 1,000% and went above and beyond what was expected of him. He was a trailblazer. He did things nobody else even thought about doing. And it's my pleasure to have spent some time with him. And just a hell of a guy.
He was, man, it's, you know, you talk about a true one of one, somebody that's hard to compare anybody to, in wrestling. You know, that's a big thing nowadays is, you know, guys from your era get compared like, oh, well, who's like the modern day equivalent of that guy? When it came to Terry Funk, it's really hard to come up with one because he was just so, so unique.
Yeah, he was unique, man. And, wow, I just feel so blessed to have been around him at times. And, just some of the things that he said to me were just so in tune with what was really going on, you know. And sometimes some of the things he said were just hard to conceive, you know, just right. hard to bring up and make sense out of it. But then once you did, you're like, holy shit. Holy shit. He's right.
Jake, I got to ask you, what do you think Terry's legacy is in professional wrestling?
Anything he wanted, brother, it was there. It's been a real rough week. You know, not only did we lose Terry, we lost one of the greatest new talents in Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
He had so much to give, and he had just gotten started. And that one will be sorely missed for a long time. I want to put the word out there to my friend Mike and his brother and just let you know I love you, man, and so sorry. So sorry this has happened to the family.
Man, you know, there's no combination of words that's going to make a loss like that, right? You know, Bray was Wyndham. He was a young man still, born in 1987, you know, still had his whole life ahead of him, and that life was cut short. And man, it's tough. And Jake, I know you got to spend a little bit of time around Bray. And I also know, you know, a question that comes up here on the podcast a lot is Jake, if you could fantasy book yourself against just about anybody, who would it be? And the answer you always seem to come back to is Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt. I wanted to do a stripper's pole match with him.
The stripper's pole match.
Yeah.
Man, missing in wrestling today, the stripper's pole match.
Yeah, it's big, man.
is so I have to imagine the pole is like greased up, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
there's like panties at the top of it. You got to go get.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's book it. AEW Tony Khan. Let's get this thing rolling. Well, look, yeah. On a more serious note, on behalf of everybody here with Ad Free Shows and the Snake Pit, we want to wish both families all the best, and we'll be praying for you guys and thinking about you guys during this difficult time. And yeah, I mean, two guys, indelible legacies they've both left behind, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's such a raw deal to lose Bray at such a young age. I can't imagine what else he had to give. You know, and, you know, him and I talked a few times about interviews and stuff, and I like to think that I helped him, but he didn't need much help. He had it rocking.
He was really sharp, and that's the thing that we hear all the time, is that, like, he was very imaginative and innovative. But, Jake, I would say that he did borrow from you a little bit, you know, back when he was doing his Wyatt family stuff before he became the Fiend. It's a lot. Every time he would cut a promo, you'd get online and see, like, boy, Jake the Snake Roberts has got to be smiling.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Well, all the best to those two families. And, you know, it's difficult to move on and be lighthearted after discussing a couple difficult losses like that. But we're going to give it a shot. We've gathered fan questions. We're going to do our 11th edition of Ask Jake Anything, like I mentioned. And look, I know what some of you are probably thinking right now. What happened to doing SummerSlam 1988? Well, don't worry. Next week, we're going to pick right back up with SummerSlam 88, the 35th anniversary. And man, we've got a whole bunch of fun shows this September. But without any further ado, all right, let's go ahead and jump into these questions, Jake. Uncle J89 asks, what's the one match and storyline you would go back and change, and what would you change about it? Anything stick out?
Yeah, the Savage and me, you know?
Okay.
That whole storyline was so good, and it was cut so short. You know, they hadn't even touched the tip of that.
Right.
And all of a sudden they snapped it off and that was it. Which made me sick because, hell, we didn't even go all the way around, you know?
Yeah.
And for it to be cut that short, it was just disgusting. But what am I? I don't know. Yeah, that's the one that sticks out.
That was one of those ones, too, that, you know, your final WrestleMania, well, of that run was coming up here, the WrestleMania 92. And, like, it just would have made sense for you and him to make it all the way there with that rivalry.
Absolutely. That's what I expected, you know, and for it to be cut short. And once again, got the shaft on that one.
Now, you and I discussed it on the first ever episode of the Snake Pit, where we talked about this Tuesday in Texas. And if I remember right, did you say that it was cut short due to the slap to Elizabeth? Was that a big part of it?
That was part of it, because her family they revolted, man. They went psycho on Randy. Randy was no longer allowed at the house. He had promised the family that Liz would never get hurt, because unfortunately Randy and Liz had never smartened them up to the business.
Oh gosh.
So when I slapped her, that was the end of the shit, brother.
So Liz's family saw you slap their daughter and thought it was a shoot that you just slapped her right there.
That it happened.
Wow. Guys, go back and listen to or watch that first episode of the Snake Pit, because we also watch Jake's promo after slapping Elizabeth, and like just the salacious nature of that promo and the way that Jake delivers it. My goodness, it is something.
Yeah, it was nasty.
It was. Richard J. Conroy is up next. Would you have stayed longer in Mid-South if they had offered you the booking job in 1986?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing like booking. When you're the guy that everybody looks to for content, for ideas, for storylines, on how to develop new talent. It's a great, great thing, man. Well, I get high just thinking about it. And you see the smile on my face, man. I love to think about that shit. Had they given me the book, I would have stayed till the wheels fell off.
Now, do you think that you would have stopped wrestling and focused on booking if you had become the head booker there?
No, I just stayed wrestling.
It's interesting, too, because, you know, you had done some booking when you were in Georgia, right. as you mentioned, and you were an active wrestler at the time. We see, though, where some guys can't handle that responsibility of booking while being a wrestler. You know, Dusty Rhodes was great, and all the stuff he did was great. But I know that, like, the Four Horsemen were getting really frustrated because Dusty kept booking himself to go over at these big events.
Imagine that.
Right. So it's interesting that you were able to like kind of find a balance with it, where I think a lot of guys struggled.
Yeah, it didn't ever matter to me who went over. You don't have enough talent to persevere losing a match, then you're in the wrong damn business.
Perfectly said.
If you go out and do your job right, the fans don't even remember.
That's exactly it, man. And like a lot of your matches, whether you went over or not, like the idea was that you wanted them to leave and be thinking about or talking about you, right?
That's it.
And it worked. Jake, it's interesting that we mentioned booking there, because this next one caught my interest, because ever since you mentioned your desire to book today, even just 15 minutes per episode, I've been seeing questions about it. And here's one from Gregory Kirby. Hi, Jake. If you could completely redo Luchasaurus's gimmick, what would you do with him? He's huge and can really move, so I feel like he could be used better.
Yeah, I think he could be used better too, man. I don't know what I would do, but I mean, I like the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. It's fun for the kids. Definitely is a babyface, though.
Really?
Yeah.
See, when I read that, my first thought was, Jake would make him a heel because he's huge.
No. I'd keep him as a baby face with that gimmick. I would.
He's a merchandise seller. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Certainly something for the kids. Alan Scuzzy Buck Batula. I don't know. Was Cheryl smart to the business when you met her? And was she a wrestling fan? Did she know who you were when you met?
No, she knew who I was when we met, but she didn't give a damn. She didn't care for me. She was quick to let me know that.
Not a wrestling fan?
Yeah. She wasn't much of a wrestling fan, but she knew who I was, and she thought I was disgusting.
Disgusting? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, did you would have met her, was it while you were in Georgia?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. In fact, I was doing the angle with Ronnie Garvin, and the reason I smartened Cheryl up is Ronnie Garvin and I had done a strap match in the Omni.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been some strap matches before that the guys didn't really lay them in. But Ronnie Garvin and I laid them in. I mean, I was cut all to hell. So was he. She wasn't smart. So we go out the back of the building, and I'm letting her help me to the car. You know, I'm being a real dick, you know. Oh, baby, I don't know if I'm going to make it to the car. Oh, get back to hell.
Might need a massage tonight.
I'm selling this shit, brother. So we go to the car, and she opens the door, and she lets me in. And I get in, and she goes around, and she's standing outside the car, but all I can see is her belly button, you know? She's staying close to the car. And I'm like, what the fuck is she doing? And I'm like, Cheryl. She won't answer me. So finally I get up and I stand up. When I stand up, I'm looking right down the nose of a pistol.
Whoa.
She's about to shoot Ronnie Garvin.
In the parking lot?
Yeah. Holy fuck. Don't do it. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
So I had to do the quick reverse and smarten her ass up pretty quick.
Yeah. Did Ronnie see the gun?
Oh, yeah.
Was he shitting himself?
He was laughing his ass off.
So I have to ask, you're out there selling it like, oh, well, I don't even know if I can carry this bag. And right after, you have to be like, wait a minute. It was.
Yeah. So I had a tough night, man. She was really pissed off.
I can imagine. I'm picturing my own wife's reaction and poof, boy.
Oh, brother. I paid a heavy price that night.
You were probably hurting even worse after the, than, oh, you know, with the strap match.
I wasn't getting any soothing things either.
So Bluefin Chris asks, Jake, did you ever see the Shockmaster incident in WCW? If you haven't, I have the video.
Well, show me the video because I think I have seen it, but I need to be refreshed.
All right. This will be a fun refresher.
I'm gonna let Sting tell the people who the secret partner is gonna be.
All I have to say is our partner is going to shock the world because he is none other than the Shockmaster!
Right.
The Shockmaster!
I told you. Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, it gets better.
I don't care who you are, boy! I don't give a damn who you are! You're gonna have us! You're gonna have Van Vader! And we're gonna be free to
come on your neck! So you're the man that rules the world. They call me the Shockmaster. You've ruled the world long enough, Sid Vicious. Get ready. Come on, you want a piece of me? You want a piece of me?
That was the Shockmaster. Jake, immediate thoughts?
Wow.
The part that really stands out to me is that you can hear Flair afterwards going, oh God, oh no.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen.
And Sid's got to sell it like he's intimidated. And here's a little factoid for you, Jake. Do you know who the voice of the Shockmaster was?
Dusty.
That was Ole Anderson backstage on a mic.
Was it Ole?
Yep.
Well, that was the best part of it.
And do you know who the Shockmaster was, by the way? Did you recognize him in that brief moment?
No.
That was Typhoon, Fred Ottman.
Yeah, I thought.
So, like, completely derailed what he was doing in WCW. And, you know, I guess they were going to build him up, and he was about to tag with Sting, top guy. And it completely derailed everything for him. But his silver lining, Fred Ottman now has one of those masks on his table at autograph signing. So I think he's made a nice living off of it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Something good's got to come out of that. Holy shit.
Man, that was fucking horrible. Yes.
And Jake, let me follow that up with a little question. Has there ever been a moment in wrestling that you were there for, that you witnessed, that was just an embarrassment like that was?
What do you think? Yes.
All right.
This was going way back.
Okay.
1976. The guy would later come to the WWF as Prince Offie or Offie something or another.
Okay.
He's Samoan. And he did a fire dance with his baton, you know, but long.
Yeah.
He could spin it, you know, with either hand. He can lay on his back and do it with his feet. And both ends are on fire, right?
Right.
So what happens is, he's been practicing this shit in my hotel room. And we decide we're going to get stoned.
Oh, boy.
So I had some really good shit. I got so fucked up, he could barely stand up. So we go to the building and it's time for his fire dance. And he goes out there and does it. And as he's spinning it, a piece of the burlap falls off and falls on top of his head.
Oh, no.
And you see the flame start to grow. And now he's flipping it with one hand and he's hitting his head. It was funnier than fuck, man. Oh, yeah. He burned a big cone in his head, man. Big afro, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it was funny.
Oh, amazing. I wish there was a video of that one out there, like the Shockmaster.
Oh, yeah.
Man. So that was you said, early WWF days?
Oh, this happened in with Stu Hart.
Oh, that's right. You said 76.
Yeah.
Dude. Amazing.
It was.
Barry Flynn is next. On an early episode, you and Marcus talked about Tully Blanchard testifying on your behalf in court. Was wondering about your history with Tully.
Not much.
Really?
Not much at all, no. I may have met him once or twice before the WWF.
Interesting, because when I read this, I was like, oh yeah, that was in the notes for one of our episodes where I think it was like him and Dusty both testified on your behalf. I guess he was just more of a character witness, probably for like professional wrestling.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. And it's also interesting you guys weren't crossing paths much. You guys are both Texas boys.
Yeah, you'd have thought we would have, but Tully was about a year or so in front of me as far as getting where you want to be, you know?
Ah, okay.
I was still trying to get to the spot, and he was already at the spot.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, man, you know, we bring it up on here sometimes, like, oh, God, you know, who's a guy that Jake could have done a great program with that he never got to work with? The one that always stuck out for me was Jeff Jarrett. I think that the two of you would have had a hell of a program. Yeah. But Tully Blanchard, got to be a close second.
Yeah, Tully would have been great.
Philip DeSanto asks, Jake, I recently saw a video of you wrestling Jim Neidhart as who? Why the hell did they put Jim Neidhart in that gimmick?
Who the fuck knows? That was so fucking ridiculous, man.
Like a dude with like that experience and that kind of name value and notoriety, and they're like, I have an idea, let's put him in this mask,
call him the Who. I wanted him to call him the Mole Man.
That was my next question. I heard about this. Can you talk to us about this gimmick?
Yeah, the Mole Man was going to be a situation where he wouldn't come to the ring till they turned all the lights off. You know? And then when he came to the ring, he'd jump the guy and beat the fuck out of the guy when the lights come on and the match is already over.
I think that could work.
Oh, fuck yeah, it could work.
Plus, he had that, like, he was a stocky little sort of dude. You know, it kind of works. He looks like a mole.
He had the voice, too. It's much too bright to come out. I'm not coming out. It hurts my eyes.
Wait a minute. So I'm starting to get the fuller picture now. Like, his music would start playing, and then he'd come over the house, like, can't do it, guys.
Turn him off. It burns my eyes.
You know, of all the missed opportunities in pro wrestling, I think you just sold me on that one. That could have been something.
The Mole would have been awesome, brother.
Damn it. All right. Well, look, somebody.
Like the baby face would make a big comeback by having a flashlight in his pocket. Hit right in the eyes with the flashlight. He goes down. You cover him. 1, 2, 3. The Mole Man has been beaten.
Who? Did you pitch this in like 96? That's when he was who?
Yeah. No, I didn't pitch it. I just told Neidhart about it. He loved it.
Man. It's could have been something special. Well, I'll tell you what, it's the gimmick is out there, AEW or WWE. Go ahead and scoop it up. Just give Jake credit.
Yeah.
George St. Louis asks, Snake, what music are you listening to these days? Are you reading anything good?
As far as reading, no, I'm not. I need to get glasses.
Mm, okay.
Punished myself for a long time by not getting them. As far as my music, man, my music stays the same, brother. I'm old rock and roll.
You like Pink Floyd, right?
Yeah, Pink Floyd, Ozzy Osbourne, The Who, The Eagles. I'm going to see The Eagles coming up pretty soon.
Where are you seeing them at?
In Atlanta. And then I'm going to Vegas to see Rod Stewart.
Hell yeah.
So that'll be rocking out.
Jake, what is like an iconic concert that you went to? Because I know you were probably a concert goer in like the 70s. Yeah. You ever see like the Doors or anybody?
Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
Floyd.
Prime Pink Floyd.
Floyd three times. And each time just blew me away. Just blew me away. And I tell you, another concert I went to that was awesome was, brain fart. Leonard Skinner.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Leonard Skinner was awesome, brother.
The original band?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen Skinner. And then you go even further back. I remember one of my first concerts I went to was the opening band was ZZ Top.
Okay.
And then, unfortunately, Rod Stewart was the closer.
Mm.
And that combination probably worked in a lot of places, but not in South Texas. They booed the shit out of Stewart, man.
Wow, why? Just because he was kind of like a...
Because he was a prissy boy.
Okay. Man, those are some killer bands to have gone and seen. Have you seen the Eagles before, or will this be your first time?
Be my first time.
So, let me say, I got to see them live here in Pittsburgh, and it was a hell of a show.
They have
Vince Gill now in their band, singing a lot of their stuff, and dude, he is unbelievable.
Cool.
Yeah, you're gonna dig it. Jesse asks, who is the greatest female wrestler of all time and why?
I don't know, man. There's too many ways to go with that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go old school, I'd say Leilani Kai.
Wow.
You know, old school.
Yes.
And main reason is because she could beat most of the men, too.
I've heard she's nothing to mess with.
No, she's not, brother. She beats the shit out of people, man. And enjoy it.
Now, Medusa is a name that I know gets brought up a lot, and she actually filled in for you here recently. She's a tough cookie too.
Oh yeah, she's all girl. Whoops, my ass.
She told a great story about you on the podcast, scaring the shit out of her with a snake in like Singapore or something.
Yeah, she kind of lost her shit.
Jake, while we're on the topic of female wrestlers, Chyna, what were your thoughts on her as a performer?
You know, I didn't get to see enough stuff. I really didn't. And, I regret it. But I didn't. I didn't get an opportunity to really see a lot of her stuff.
Irreplaceable look, for sure. You know, certainly left an indelible mark.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Pete Deegan is up next. What modern day wrestlers does Jake think would fit what would have fit well in his era?
Another Jake. Jake at AEW.
Jake Hager.
I think he would have fit real well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my guy would have fit real well.
Hell yes.
You know, real well. He might even have been the champ. You know, had he come along at the right time.
Like, almost certainly, this was back in the days where Hogan was getting treated like Rocky Balboa. They just kept, you know, the monsters were getting bigger and bigger. Just imagine him and Lance Archer.
Yeah. It would have been awesome, man.
Nick Neumeier asks, does Jake have any stories about Demolition?
Nope.
Our pals Barry Darso and Bill Eadie, those guys kept to themselves pretty much. No stories.
Yeah, class act, brother. Class act.
They good minded dudes.
Took care of themselves and Mr. Fuji. And they were just a class act.
Good dudes. Dan Averett has a similar question, except it's about Bob Backlund. Any good Bob Backlund stories?
He's a fucking maniac. Are you kidding? That guy is legit psycho.
What gave you that impression?
He's just, that guy is so strong. It's incredible. He's a freak of nature. Mm-hmm. And just he'll fucking lose it, man, and start screaming and shit. It scares the fuck out of me.
Just like randomly start screaming in the locker room?
Yeah. He does it at signings. He'll grab somebody in a fucking hole and just scream like crazy.
I've heard that he, like, at signings, if a kid comes up to him out in public and says, like, hey, can I have your autograph? He tries to make him, like, recite all the presidents or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he makes them, you know, show him how smart they are. Makes the person.
It's funny, man. Ted and I were talking about him on our podcast not too long ago, and Ted was like, you know, he had this kind of like a like an Opie Taylor type look to him. Like, he just looked like this, you know, like an unimposing kid from right next door. He was like, but he would fucking stretch you.
Oh, he'll fucking hurt you in a second, man. I remember back in the late 70s, he came to Mid-South, and they brought a kid from LSU. He was like 6'8". 350 fucking pounds to challenge a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wanted to get in there. And, you know, because if you get in that ring and you lose, your fucking shit's over.
Yeah.
And Backlund raises his hands and says, I'll take you. And everybody's like, oh, fuck no, man. You know, but he went out there. And all he did was grab the guy in a fucking headlock. He grabbed that guy in that headlock and squeezed so fucking hard, the guy passed out.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fucking incredible, man. And it didn't take long either.
Man, the freak athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. He still is.
He looks like he's still in good shape.
Oh, he's in unbelievable shape.
And I think I saw him with those, like, Persian clubs or whatever, like Sheik used to use.
Yeah. He does it all, man.
Dude, just, there's another guy, one of one, but a maniac.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, legit.
Weapon X 1972 asks, what sports outside of football and wrestling are your favorites?
Synchronized swimming's up there.
Is it really?
No.
Like, you said it's so deadpan. I was like, what?
Roller derby. No. I like the big three, you know, basketball, football, baseball.
Hard to beat. Jake, who's the biggest name athlete you have ever met?
Ollie.
Wow, that's easy. For sure, yeah. Ollie.
Yeah.
Great question here from Robert Szluski. If all of the circumstances had been ideal and you had the chance to get a retirement match at WrestleMania like Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels did, who would you want the match to be against and why?
Oh my God.
That's a hell of a question.
Vince McMahon, so I could fucking kick his ass. I'd love to DDT that motherfucker in a chair.
Oh God. Well, that would be a hell of a way to end the career.
Drop him on the concrete like I did Steamboat.
How do you think your payoff would be after dropping McMahon?
Probably about as bad as they always were.
Andrew Hesser asks, Jake, what's the biggest bump you ever took in your career?
It was a line of coke about this long. And it was really thick.
That is a big bump.
Oh my God, I remember it gagged me and I puked and I swallowed my pukes. It's about the biggest bump I ever took.
Did you ever like take a top rope bump or
Yeah, I fell off the top rope one time.
And that was enough for you.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Jake, what kind of a payoff would you need if they wanted you to go out there and do a thumbtack bump?
Oh, it would take some cash, brother.
That just seems fucking miserable to me.
Yeah. It would take 50 grand at least.
Last one for the week, and then I'll let you go, Jake. Freshman asks, given what happened backstage at All In, I was wondering if Jake ever got into a physical altercation with anyone backstage during his time in wrestling.
No.
Never?
No. There were some close calls, but it never happened.
So, like, do you have any recollection on, like, any arguments that were coming close to possibly getting to blows?
With me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one with Davey Boy Smith.
Okay.
But it never happened.
Now, was that a result of him trying to blow you up in, like, 96 or whatever?
He was fucking with the snake.
Okay. Jake, I heard a rumor about them fucking with the snake by throwing lit cigarettes into the snake bag, right?
Right.
But then you got a rebuttal of your own, if I understand the story right.
Yeah, I fed their dog like 6 hot dogs with chili.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the outcome of that one?
It went all over the room.
And that...
That dog shit all over their clothes. Dog shit everywhere.
And that was the moment when it almost came to blows with him?
It was after that, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know that you and he had a tumultuous relationship at times. Great performer, another guy gone too soon. But yeah, I've heard that he could be a little stiff with that sort of thing.
You know, I had nothing against Davey. I don't know why it ever come to why it did, you know, but... I wanted to actually work with him.
Yeah.
But it just didn't happen, man.
Well, it's a shame because, God, you know, think of the houses the two of you could have drawn along the way.
We could have. We should
have. Would have been something special. Yeah. Well, Jake, that's going to do it for this week. Again, next week, we'll pick back up with 1988 and a look back at the first ever SummerSlam 35 years ago. It takes place in MSG. Jake wrestles Hercules, and we will have plenty to discuss.
Oh, you're damn right, man.
Guys, if you're looking to attract that 25 to 54-year-old male demographic to your product or service, why haven't you gone to advertise with snake.com yet? Jake is a legitimate household name. He's still over like Rover, and you can get him to put over your stuff to the exact audience you're targeting. If you need evidence that it works, just listen to our show. We routinely advertise for the same businesses because they know that the stuff that we do works. It's a super targeted audience. You will 100% get the most bang for your buck when you go to advertisewithsnake.com and team up with the Hall of Famer, Jake the Snake Roberts. JakeTheSnakeShop.com is your destination for rare signed collectibles straight from Jake himself. We're talking about autographed figures, 8x10s, much more. How about some sculptures made by Sin Bodhi? Handmade sculptures. Well, Jake has got like a Greek statue over there that looks amazing. He's also got little Jake heads, half his skull, half his Jake's face. And it's the perfect thing for like your desk or your man cave. It would look beautiful in there. Just go over there and take a look. Find out for yourself. By the way, all of the stuff that's over there, Jake will sign for you. So just go to JakeTheSnakeShop.com and add a new centerpiece to your wrestling collection. Head over to Cameo.com/JakeSnake for a personal message from the Hall of Famer. Here's a recent review from Tommy. Words cannot describe how much inspiration this man has given me. Small price to pay for a video that will give me a lifetime of encouragement. Thanks again, Jake. If you're a lifelong fan, you've got to get a cameo from Jake. This guy is a bona fide part of pop culture, and he can send you a personal message. Look, this is especially great if you cannot get out to see Jake at one of his signings, and you'd like to have some kind of an interaction with him. Jake is awesome at these. He puts a lot of effort into them, and you can get yours at cameo.com/JakeSnake. If you're looking for cool vintage style merchandise, we've got you covered over at boxofgimmicks.com. We've got some badass shorts over there. We've got tank tops. And by the way, it's starting to get a little bit chilly outside. Don't worry, we've got you covered on that too. We've got sweatshirts. We've got hoodies. We've got all kinds of stuff over there, and it's all super stylish, all a throwback to the best generation of professional wrestling, the golden era from the 80s and 90s. So, again, just go over there and have a look for yourself. I think you're going to like what you find. It's the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com. Check us out at YouTube at youtube.com/@snakepitpod for short clips from our show, highlights, and some exclusive content. We also recently did a giveaway for subscribers there, and we're going to keep doing those. So all you have to do to be eligible to get your hands on some of this signed merchandise for free from Jake the Snake Roberts is subscribe over on our YouTube channel. While you're there, why not hit the notifications bell? It's all free, and it provides you with an opportunity to own some exclusive signed merchandise. Also, if you've enjoyed our podcast, please do us a favor, subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on your podcast platform. That kind of stuff helps us out a bunch. Just a reminder, you can get the Snake Pit and all the other shows in our network early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com. Starts at just $9 a month. We're talking about less than 15 cents an episode each month. And it's all of your favorite wrestling podcasts all in one place. Plus, there's a ton of bonus content over there. There's interactive chats with some of your favorite hosts. We just had Larry Zbysko over on adfreeshows.com. And our members got to chat with the living legend himself. Guys, if you're not a member and you're a wrestling fan, truly, you are missing the boat. Just head over to adfreeshows.com today and get signed up. And by the way, you get to try a free trial over there right now. Again, it's adfreeshows.com. Catch Jake on Twitter at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. You can follow me at MarcusPDAngelo on Twitter. I guess it's X now. And you can follow the podcast at SnakePitPod on all social media platforms. Guys, we can't wait to get back into it next week, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Snake Pit.